Show with Brock and Hunter. Only on Rock 107 WIRX. Everything that rocks.
Well, good morning. 6:34, Brock Hunter.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Beetlejuice.
No.
I can take down Beetlejuice. He wasn't that scary.
Nice effing model. You gotta watch it, dude.
I'm telling you. I know. I'll watch it this weekend. I'm not gonna watch it this weekend. Anyway, I say I will, but I'm not going to. It is the Plan B Morning Show. We're gonna keep her moving. It's time for your rock news and rock history. Here we go.
Here's your Plan B Morning Show rock news with Brock and Hunter.
Of course, as always, your rock news and rock history brought to you by AIR Advanced Import Repair, M139 in Benton Harbor. Breathe easy with AIR. Well, AC/DC singer Bon Scott passed away 41 years ago today.
Wow.
After drinking himself to death in London at the age of 33. And according to friends in Australia, AC/DC may have had to look for a new singer even if he had lived, as they say he was getting tired of the grind. Sam C., Bond's former bandmate in Fraternity, tells Classic Rock magazine, quote, "He looked everyone up on his last trip to Australia before he went back to London. I always thought that it was a bit spooky. He said to me that he'd had enough of the whole circus. By that point, they'd had enough success that he could buy a pub and just rock out locally. I don't know." Bond's last time under the big top saw AC/DC break through with 1979's album Highway to Hell, their first million-selling disc. And it was reported last month, lost recordings from Bond's time in Fraternity were combined with two albums they recorded, Livestock and The Flaming Gala, and released a new box set, Second Chance. A biography of the band will be launched on March 18th at their 50th anniversary celebration in Torrensville, Australia. This is an interesting take. This is so obviously out drinking, he died in the back of a car. Choked on his own vomit. Huge news in the rock world, especially now. I think at the time it was big news, but not to what it is now, because obviously AC/DC continued on with their success. Brian Johnson, just 4 months later with them, with Back in Black, to hear this from a former friend of Bon Scott, and you can speculate all you want, but hearing maybe he wouldn't have been with the band much longer,
right?
It's hard to say.
Imagine this, all right? So he lives that night. All right. 2 months after that, he's like, "I'm done. I can't do it anymore, guys. It's too tough." So he kind of hangs it up for a little bit. Brian Johnson steps in, takes AC/DC to what happened with AC/DC with Brian Johnson. Now we fast forward to now where AC/DC is still doing stuff. So now you have Brian Johnson and Bon Scott,
dude,
together. I mean, do you think they would do it together? Or you think, like, one album would be Brian Johnson, album with Bon Scott? Imagine that.
It's the Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth debate.
Absolutely.
You know? Could we see a tour with both AC, with both Bon and Brian? I mean, dude, for me, being a diehard AC/DC fan, that's my favorite band. Like, I'd ruin my shorts. It'd be amazing. It'd be absolutely amazing.
It'd be amazing.
And the world, I don't think, got enough Bon Scott. We were fortunate enough to have him when we did. But, and also, though, you can't take away from the fact that AC/DC had even more commercial success after he passed, and quickly. I mean, soon after the passing, they got right back on it. Here's another little thing that I was reading up on. So apparently, Bon Scott saw Brian Johnson with his band Jordy in 1973, and he went back after to the show and was just praising Brian Johnson to the rest of the band. And after Bon passed, Mutt Lang, who was producing Back in Black, or producing AC/DC's albums at that point, suggested Brian Johnson for it. Yeah, he suggested Brian Johnson. So these members intertwined long before they ever knew. So it's very serendipitous, you know what I mean?
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. And only Brian Johnson knows right now, because the other one passed. That's wild.
So I don't know. But could you imagine, all right, you know, even on like the Black Ice tour, the Rock and Roll Train tour, and it's like,
here's what they can legit do nowadays is AC/DC concert. Brian gets on stage, starts doing his thing, and all of a sudden stops mid-sentence, and everybody's like, "What's going on?" And he steps aside, and that hologram comes up with Bon Scott.
He takes the song.
How awesome would that be, dude?
That'd be pretty sweet. Well, and see, that's why everyone, you know, I wasn't completely torn up when they did the tour with Axl Rose, because Axl was able to sing songs from the Bon Scott era that a lot of people haven't heard in concert, because Brian Johnson either just couldn't sing them, or they didn't. They were just singing Brian Johnson stuff.
Right.
Most of the stuff you see AC/DC, in a concert is post Bon Scott days. Not everything, but I'd say 95% of it is. You know what I mean? Which is crazy, because they have that whole library of Bon Scott before, which got people into AC/DC, you know? So it's nuts.
You can always dream, right? Yep. You can always dream.
What could have been? So anyway, there you go. That is your rock news. Let's keep moving here with your rock history.
On this day in rock history.
Now, obviously, I did mention that on this day in rock history, you know, Bon Scott died, but I didn't want to be all morbid. So also on this day in rock history, 1948, the legendary Tony Iommi was born, guitarist for Black Sabbath, done a lot of great stuff. Here's a crazy fact about Tony Iommi, all right, and why Black Sabbath kind of does have the sound that it has. So the last day on his job at the factory Tony Iommi was working at, he lopped off three tips of his fingers on a machine. On his playing hand, all right? On the fretboard hand.
A guitar player.
So here he is. The band's going to make it, bro. He's leaving this factory job that he's been doing to bide the time to help pay the bills before the band makes it. His last day, he gets careless, lops off the tips of three of his fingers. So he had to get these false tips on his fingers, okay? Wow. These tips. And he also down-tuned his guitar, so it would be easier to bend, which gave kind of Black Sabbath that dark, brooding sound.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
His mistake made a sound, basically.
It kind of led to that dark, brooding Black Sabbath sound.
Wow. I wonder how long it took him to, you know, relearn.
Dude, it's all in the tips, too, when you're playing, man. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Oh, it's got to be all about the feeling, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. There you go. This was a fun rock news and rock history today. I enjoyed this one. We could have ripped all day on that. All right. That's your rock news and rock history, brought to you by AIR, Advanced Import Repair. We'll be back.